Next on BYUSN, our final day of coverage from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. A loaded 2 days from the Big 12 media extravaganza, including can't-miss interviews with BYU head coach Kalani Sitake and BYU wide receivers Chase Roberts and Darius Lassiter.
Plus, unforgettable interviews with Colorado head coach Prime Time and his sons Shadur and Shiloh Sanders.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Hope you're enjoying your Thursday, July 11th, and we hope you are about to enjoy the third and final installment of our official Media Day coverage here in Las Vegas. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who's going to sleep well tonight, Austin Colley.
Have we only been here for 2 days?
It feels much longer than that, right?
I need an IV.
Quickly, because we have so much good stuff to get to, what has stood out to you most? Maybe an overarching theme from Big 12 Media Days.
Yeah, I think the narrative come from the commissioner, come from the coaches. Like, this is a conference that has constantly been evolving over the last couple years, and I think it's going to be that way for the next couple years, right? I think the entire landscape of college football is changing. New competition going in, or coming in, new competition going out, and really trying to get a thumb. If I'm a coach and I'm trying to prep and plan for these teams, I mean, it's looking different every single year we get into the season, right? So it makes it really, you know, that much more difficult, and you have to be that much more on your game in your manner of preparation, especially heading into the weeks of the of play.
The parity, the balance, the top to bottom talent, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
it feels like the Big 12 is unique in that regard.
I mean, the preseason polls can come out and say all they want, but in reality, like, there's 16 great football teams. I mean, there might be two in there that are just like, all right, I mean,
sure,
you know, the stars have to align. Magic, no pun intended, magic has to happen, okay, in order for them to win some ball games. But, like, I mean, the remaining 14, I mean, there's some talented teams across the board. And the margin of I would say, difference and talent between the first team and the 14th team isn't much. There's not much there.
Pretty wild. I've lost my voice because we've had such a great week and we've done so much talking. That is for sure. Listen, Colorado is a team that is picked to finish 11th with Coach Prime and his standout sons, Shadur and Shiloh Sanders. We spoke to them on the BYUSN set not too long ago, and we went into the whole brother connection and why they feel Colorado is ready to take the next step. Here is one of those unforgettable interviews on BYU Sports Nation. And can't think of a better way to do it than specifically with the Sanders brothers, Shadur and Shiloh Sanders. Welcome to BYUSN, guys, and Big 12 Media Days.
Thank you for having us.
It's fitting that your dad is speaking to the general media right now as you do this. How would you assess his demeanor at this juncture?
I'm trying to listen to what he's saying, honestly. So I'm trying to hear what he's saying.
I mean, how many of those sound bites that he has do you guys hear on a daily basis?
Everything dog is a soundbite.
That's like his bread and butter is just saying, dog. That's like,
yeah. It's just him talking normal, really. That's what it is.
Oh, outstanding. How do you feel about Big 12 Media Days overall? Because this has impacted your training schedule to a degree.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. We could be doing conditioning right now. Today was conditioning days. Today was the hard days. So that's perfect timing.
What was on the docket? Do we know what was on the docket? Do we have 110s? What was it?
It's definitely hundreds today. But, I mean, it's one of those things where you got to represent your team, but then you don't really want to be away from them. You know, I don't really like missing practice or missing things because I just want to be able to be there, you know, with the guys.
Austin, this resonates with you, does it not?
Oh, I mean, you know, having played with guys like Peyton, Tom, the things that we did on the field were important, but the things that we did off the field were important, right? Like, being able to be with your receivers or being with your quarterback, you build kind of like this continuity kind of sixth sense. Are there any things that you do with your wideouts off the field to help with that?
Hang out all the time.
Take trips.
Really?
Yeah, wherever we go, we throw. We make sure it's always a football there, and we always take advantage of the time we have off. So next break, everybody will be with me in Houston. And we're going to go out there and train.
See, he already knows.
Yeah. Now, they be doing
pros,
it big.
Come on. Pros come on. Pro.
Absolutely.
They be doing it big?
Yeah.
A little jealousy over there on the defensive side?
No, Shiloh. Yeah, well, I was going to say, Shiloh, what's it like? Like, what? as again, brothers, the connection, but you're on opposite sides of the ball in practice. What's that like for you?
Well, lucky for him, he goes against the two, so
we got 1 minute drill, 2 minute drill at the end of practice.
You don't like that.
So I get very excited because I already know what they're going to get in.
You don't get excited for us being out there.
Who?
Me and Travis.
All right, so who has Travis though?
Hodge. Oh, you talking about Travis on?
Is he going to be on offense or defense?
Defense.
Ah.
What are you talking about?
That was my follow-up question.
It don't matter now. It don't matter now because Travis is a great player. We got other great receivers too.
Is Travis more valuable on offense or defense?
He's a valuable guy in general.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's not one or the other, but if he's on the other side, it's definitely motivation for the other guys when they get in front of him. They know, you know, it's that switch gets cut on.
Shiloh, I've noticed, okay, I'm not going to lie, watch some TikTok clips, okay? I've watched some of your games. You love to bring the lid.
The lid. I've never heard of that term.
Okay?
I like it.
You love to bring the hat downhill. Your dad, not so much. Okay?
Honestly,
where'd that
we
come
have
from?
That conversation at home. In his Florida State highlight tape, he's actually really physical.
Is he?
He actually is. You got to go watch it.
He gets after it.
Like, he used to actually hit hard.
The only time I saw him physical in the league was when he and Andre Rison went at it.
But the thing is, you never seen him get ran over. You never seen him.
You only seen the
miss a tackle.
Yeah.
You never seen him turn down contact.
How would both of you, and this I would like to hear both of you answer this question. How would you explain the atmosphere and the culture around Colorado football in year two? Now that your dad has had a full year to settle in and go out and recruit some more of his players, and certainly you two are going to make a massive impact. But how is it different maybe from this time last year to where it is this year?
It's more of a family. It's more cool. There's no slick hang. There's no jealousy. There's none of that. It's everybody understands their role. Everybody understands their job. So it's more of like a family atmosphere.
Everybody knows we have to win. It's not like we don't know. And, how last year it's like this will – this is what's going to happen this year. Everybody understands we winning.
And everybody was on the outside being able to look in, so they know what's coming, you know.
Yeah.
All the players said they used to stay up, you know, watch the games, or before their games with school there is that they was able to catch our games. So they know the attention. They know what's going on. Like, it's not like – it's different to when you have a group of guys that don't really know, that's not prepared. You know, it's different getting hit. Whenever you know about you're about to get hit, rather than it's just blindsided,
right?
You know,
with the there's always two sides of spotlight, right? I mean, I've been around guys like Peyton and Tom. You know, from the outside looking in, you're like, that must be awesome. But then when you spend maybe like 2 minutes with those guys and then see how everybody reacts around them, the pressure that they're constantly under. You know, sometimes it's maybe not as great as it seems. I don't think there's two college football players that have to live under such scrutiny or be in the spotlight as much as you do. I mean, let alone being college football players, already feeling the pressure, already getting the NFL talks, already being prime sons. What do you guys do to kind of offset or to kind of escape that?
Work and deliver.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely – we've been as kids our whole lives, so it's always been that. So this is just another year in the office for us.
Another day.
Different. Yeah. All it is just more hate, more people coming at you. You just got to move smarter, protect who you're around. Like, that's the main thing.
Mm. On the field, where do you feel like the Buffs are going to take the biggest step forward, just from a purely execution standpoint?
Winning.
Okay, wins matter the most. Do you feel like – there's more room to grow on offense, on defense, both? Like, is there a side of the football where you feel like you'll take a more significant
No, you're trying
step?
To put us against each other
No.
it's no, because we both wasn't able to get the common goal that we both agreed to do, and that's to win the game. And it definitely has special teams also. So every area is better from last year to this year. So there's no way you get a lesser result and everything's better, and you got better versions of yourself.
Shador and Shiloh Sanders are with us on BYU Sports Nation. This is me speaking personally. College football is better when a brand and a national championship pedigree team like Colorado is good. Like, it's fun to have Colorado football back and relevant, and the community embracing it has been fun to watch. Like, people were like, finally, the Buffs are back, and you've still got a long way.
You get your Colorado shirt.
What's that?
Yeah, take it easy, Spencer.
Listen,
I
grew up, when I grew up, it was Colorado was a prominent part of college football, and, and so it's fun to watch that program become relevant again. How has the community response been for you in Boulder specifically? Shador, how about you? What do you think about the immediate community response?
Well, I get love every time me and a lineman or me and a couple guys go to the steakhouse out there. So that's really it. But other than that, we're really either at the school or at home. Yeah, but even when we do go out, it's a lot of kids, it's just a lot of love in the city.
We appreciate both of you being with us.
Yeah, man.
And being as approachable and down to earth as you
Definitely.
Both are. Like, it's not easy to do, but credit to both of you.
Kudos for you guys showing up, man. Seriously. Like, that's awesome. Shows that true leaders of the team, football's in the forefront of your mind, and win ball games in the forefront of your mind. That's what you want from your
I mean,
captains.
we're not here for nothing else.
Right?
Let's go.
Yeah,
love it. Chyler, you going to get me a Buff shirt, dude?
You got to get your kids one, too.
Dude, they've got so much Buffs gear. It's crazy. I'm starting to get a little offended.
Yeah, y'all need the Buffs gear.
Starting to get a little offended.
Yeah, that's funny.
Like, too much gold in this house, right? We're a BYU household. I'm not liking this, especially now that they're in the conference.
It works out. BYU and Colorado don't play this year. So it's okay.
That's true.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, but no, I'll tell the kids. I said, what's up?
I will. Sure. Big awesome. Fans, man. Big fans.
Yep. Gentlemen, thank you for the time.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you both.
Yes, sir.
Hey, a shout out for the Collie Boys. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're going to get their kicks out of that. If you missed any of our Big 12 Media Day interviews with players and coaches from across the Big 12, you can find them on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube page. Subscribe so you don't miss any BYUSN content.
After the break, do not go anywhere. Our conversation with Coach Prime. Deion Sanders makes his BYUSN debut next. Why does he have so many ties to BYU?
I mean, he's a guy.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
We are live from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas for this BYUSN special, and we are high-stepping, figuratively speaking, into our next interview with Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, and he's making his BYUSN debut now. Coach Prime, what a great pleasure for us to have you on BYU Sports Nation. We couldn't think of a better way to welcome you to our specific program then with a special message from a guy you just talked to, your former position coach, Tom Homo, who recorded this earlier. So pay attention to what Coach Homo had to say.
Hey, Deion. Welcome to the Big 12. I'm so happy to be able to welcome you and your family and the University of Colorado Buffaloes to the Big 12. We don't get to play each other this year, but just seeing you around our meetings reminds me of that 1 year we spent together in San Francisco with the 49ers, where we won the Super Bowl, won it all, and you were the Defensive Player of the Year, and I had the opportunity to see you every day, and it was a great time. I'll always remember your energy, your enthusiasm, your humor, your great faith and spirit, and I'm super excited to have you back around me, and let's have some fun.
Awesome. You're trying to get a tear out of me, man. Let me tell you what just happened. He just met Coach. I got him, Coach Homo. He just met him for the first time.
Shiloh. You just met
so
Coach Homo.
Shiloh, being the Shiloh that he is, what I just told you about, wanted to know any contradictions.
What did I tell you guys earlier? I said, I do all the homework you could possibly do.
So he said, oh, tell me this about my dad. Or tell
every,
me that.
Every coach
so
he has, I always
ask. Wrong, and Coach Homo told him a couple stories that substantiated what I had already told him. But he is trying to find wrong when I'm trying to find right.
But you know one thing, though. You know one thing?
What's that?
I had your back, though.
He did.
I'm not going to tell you which one of these guys is physical.
Listen.
But I said I seen your college tape.
Oh, I was a killer.
I told him to watch your college tape.
I was a killer. But guess what happened? I got in the pros, and my locker was right beside Bobby Butler. And he said, young fella, because the first game I was out there trying to hit, knock, he said, you're not going to play this game long if you keep going about it like that. I said, what do you mean? He said, just get him on the ground. You don't have to try to kill him because you're not going to play long. I said, He said, okay, what you make a year is like $1.1 million or something at the time. There's a highest paid defense back, defense player in the league.
Dang.
Yeah, that was bad back then, but it was great. Back
That's like $40 million nowadays, right?
Exactly.
All the way back then.
You got to count inflation.
But he said, okay, what if you could make that, you know, 10 years instead of four? I said, I get it.
Longevity.
So I changed the way I approached the game. Yeah, I just wasn't going out of my way to go get it.
Well, clearly it worked because, as Tom just mentioned, you were the defensive player of the year in 1995, Super Bowl champions.
Right.
What was Coach Homo like?
Awesome,
that year?
Consistent. Not conservative, but consistent.
Ever raise his voice?
I think at a couple.
You got yelled at before back then.
Maybe, please.
I just can't see Tom raising his voice at anybody.
Yell at me about what?
See, that's something I'd ask his coaches about.
High stepping too long.
Hey, you got
picking the ball up, holding it up too high.
Right.
No, he got on some of the guys that needed to be getting. Got how can a fly be in a?
I don't know.
Like, this is.
It's probably too hot for
somebody
the flies.
Somebody
got to
do a study on these things. Like,
I don't even know if that's
that was
a
good
fly.
One right there.
Yeah, but he was awesome. He got, yeah, some of the other guys he did get mad at, and he did check them. He put them in their place. But you got to understand, and this is not racial by any means, but a Caucasian man being a DB coach in the NFL is not often seen.
A rarity.
Right.
And you talking about back then, you know, back in the 90s, that's a rarity. And he did the doggone thing, and I think we were the number one defense in the league that year as well. So I got love for him, son.
Steve Young, for what it's worth, sends his best as well. We recently
Steve
spoke
Young
with
is
him.
Unbelievable.
He
man.
Brought up the fact, he's like, I'm one of the only people ever on film that actually flipped
Deion. I'm still mad at him about that.
You picked him off.
I picked him off.
But he flipped you over your head.
Because his past haunted me. I'm going to tell you what that means, son. I picked it off. I read it perfectly. Picked it off. And I was darting toward the sideline. See, if I hadn't played with Steve Young, I wouldn't have known how fast he was. But the sense that I played with him, I said, okay, he may get the angle on me. Let me go ahead and get this over with right now. Because I wanted to get it over with right now and high step for like 60. Like if I just had.
Like address him.
Right. I wanted to cut back on him and just get him out of the way right now. And I tried to cut back on him. And he, I don't know how in the world he did. Because he's a good athlete. And he hit me low and flipped me. And I was so mad. Because that should have been another house call.
The last person you want to put any move on is Steve, right? Like
Steve
zero regard for his body.
Steve is
he'll throw himself in front of
see,
of a
most
freight
people they don't know that Steve. They don't know the Tampa Steve.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
He's a dog.
They talking about the 49ers Steve.
Yeah.
The Tampa Steve
dog.
That dude was a
God.
Dog.
He was getting hit like Shador was getting hit last year, right?
Yes. Straight up.
That's how the Tampa Steve was getting hit. I mean, he was a dog, and he was getting his butt kicked. Then he went to San Fran, and the rest is history.
Coach, you are big on and outspoken about faith, family, football. That clearly resonates with Brigham Young University and the crowd and Steve Young and Tom Homo. But it is such a difficult balance. How do you find the balance between the three of those?
I'm not trying to find a balance. I'm being me. I mean, they grow up with me kicking their butts and getting mad at them because they didn't want to go to church. You just was talking about church the other day. Remember? Tell them what you said.
You get the best sleep in church.
That is a fact. That's a fact.
That's who he is.
Anybody who says it's not a fact is in denial.
And it was like, Dad, why do I have to go? I said, man, just get your butt up, put on some clothes, let's go. We're going to church. So that was part of the family structure growing up. But that's who I've always been. So I shouldn't have to try to be who I've always been. That comes along with the package. First of all, your head coach is awesome.
Amazing.
Let me tell you something, man. At the Big 12 meetings, just sitting beside him, and he was so welcoming. He was so kind. And he's a big fella, too, so he's intimidating, you know. But he was just, like, one of the best dudes ever. And the spirit that he had was it illuminated the darn room. And I love that I know BYU is in great hands because that man right there not only loves the program but loves the kids and loves the game.
Absolutely. Okay, so there's no one – kind of pivoting to football a little bit. We got to talk a little bit about ball. No one has taken advantage of the NIL portal, the transfer portal, like you have.
Right.
You've got 50 players coming in. You had 55 leave on you. How are you? I'm a big culture guy.
No, I don't know about leave on you.
Okay.
I could say this.
I
could say things
you.
He can't say.
Yeah, I don't know about
they be kicking folks off the team, too.
No, we don't kick folks off the team. Like, people get caught for doing certain things that you got to
You got to discipline.
Yeah, you got to handle your business there. You can't.
55 players that are no longer there.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
I'm a big culture guy. I played on a plethora of teams where culture was kind of the at the forefront of everybody's efforts, everybody's mindset, playing with guys like Peyton, guys like Tom. That was right. Huge for them.
Right.
What are you doing or what have you done this last offseason with the new faces to make sure that continuity remains intact?
Well, I'm going to let him go first so you don't think this is rehearsed. You answer that first.
I thought she was going to answer. Can you ask that question one more time?
No. Okay, well, because he wasn't paying attention.
That sounded like a you question.
Plug in, Shiloh,
he wasn't paying attention.
This isn't church.
It's his turn. It's like jumping rope and he's just under the sleep. Knowing darn well it's going to be your turn.
No, there's so many flies in here. These flies are distracting.
You're going to blame it on a fly? Your absent-mindedness on a fly. That is who you are.
So new faces on the team, okay? What have you guys done? What has your dad done? What has Coach Prime done over this past offseason to kind of have that continuity still remain intact? Because culture, team culture to me, is probably most important above all else.
So to still remain intact is a new team. So anything last year is new now. That's number one. Number two, like, our workouts be hard. So it's like you're going to have to – when you go through something like our workouts with your teammates, then that builds a bond. You know, it's like joining a fraternity or something like that. So,
and, you know, I only hear culture when someone's losing. I never hear culture when you're winning.
Yeah.
I never hear it. I only hear it when you're getting your butt kicked. What about the culture? What about it? Like, I only hear about it when you're getting your butt kicked. Your target is to find like-minded men. Smart, tough, fast, disciplined, with character, with character. And some of those young men that Shiloh aforementioned that were eliminated from this process, the character was a problem. And you're not going to maintain your visibility with us if you have a character problem that's hurting the team. We're not going to allow that because if you're not important to you, how is the team going to be important to you? So that's pretty much what he's talking about with the multiple young men. But you got to understand, we inherited a team that was a one-win team.
Right.
So you got to clean that up.
Yeah. It's going to be a refinement process.
You got to clean it up. And the way we cleaned it up, you may not agree with, but check out this stat. 17 freshmen last year that we signed, 13 of them played.
Yeah.
20 freshmen total played, including walk-ons.
Wow.
So find me a team that played 20 freshmen.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But, see, you don't hear that. All you hear is we're in the portal, 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 we're in the portal. 20 freshmen, true freshmen, played last year. And walk-ons, several walk-ons played, and we just gave another guy, Charlie Offerdahl, a running back, it was a walk-on, we just gave him a scholarship in the spring that he earned. So, and he may start for us week one. But getting the right like-minded people, not only that, coaches as well, man.
Yeah.
You got to have your staff. The Bible says that rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Staff got to comfort me, not kill me.
Yeah.
Building with your people, there and you we're go. Excited to watch you this year. We appreciate the ties you have with BYU Coach Prime.
Man, he's awesome, and, man. He's awesome.
Yeah. We know you're a busy man.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time.
Man, please. Shiloh, I told him before you came that you're the kid that keeps me on my knees and keep my knee pads on to keep me in the face of the Lord and it keeps me prayerful. Is that accurate?
I'm your number one son.
Right now, this month.
Right now. Today.
I'm not doing much bad. I'm good.
This month. You're in my pockets right now. Yeah, but I'm saying you're in my pocket. But you are one of my – you're the number one son this month. I give you that.
Well, after getting to speak with both of them, you've done a great job.
Yeah.
So props to you for whatever it is you're doing. You keep doing it because you got great two great sons.
Yeah, he used to always try to trade me as a father way back when.
Coach Prime.
Won't do that anymore.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Coach. Thanks for stopping.
It's a one-of-a-kind interview on BYU Sports Nation. We'll leave it at that. Hey, up next, we hear from head coach Kalani Sitake and what he thinks about BYU being picked to finish 13th. What a compliment from Dion for him as well. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
That's kind of our focus now, is to be able to take it to the next level.
You're doing this for the dudes next to you and everybody around you.
I felt like we left a lot of wins out there last year, so we coming back to prove what we left out there.
Let's go!
Let's go, indeed. Welcome back to Allegiant Stadium, day two of our Big 12 Media Days coverage from the home of the Las Vegas Raiders, alongside former NFL and BYU wide receiver standout Austin Colley. I am Spencer Linton. We now welcome in the head football coach at Brigham Young University. He is Kalani Sitake. Coach, welcome to Media Days officially.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. I can't believe it. It's a short trip for us, so that's nice. I'm glad that they came out this way.
They came out west.
Yeah.
Hey, you're rocking the suit. It's air conditioned inside, but it's hot outside. Walk me through the idea to go with suits this year.
I think last year I was like trying to decide. Remember last year I said I was trying to lose weight, and so I was like, oh, I can't wait to fit in this. This year I just kind of came to the reality and said, it's not going to happen. I'm just going to go get a suit that's going to fit this body and kind of rock with it.
You call up Mr. Mac and you say, hey, just give me the yoosh.
Yeah, give me something that's blue that I look good in and that can hide a little bit of my belly fat.
You just spoke to the general media contingent up on the big table. Collectively speaking, what was their biggest question for you and BYU football as you enter year two of Power Four football?
I think a lot of them want to know, you know, what we're going to be, how we're going to be different than last year. That's the kind of feel I got. Even at the end of the questioning, there was, I think when people, when the media votes, they don't know what we know, and so I think the, and I said it'd be pointless for me to get angry at them when they don't know what I know. So that I'm excited to see them, for them to see what I've seen already. The learning process from year one to year two, it's a natural thing that already happens. The guys already, now they have something to compare it to. I mentioned before that it's uncharted territory. Now they know what it's like. They know when we talked about depth and talked about competitive and talking about physical and talking about consistency, now they know exactly what to look at and how to compare it. And I think they saw where they could have done better last year, especially in the offseason. And I saw our guys in January approach the offseason conditioning way different than they've done before. Lean a little bit more on the details, on the little things. Listen to our strength coaches, our sports scientists, things like that, and try to find ways to get to be in a position where they can perform at their best. And we know that this is going to be physical, but we also know we need more depth. But there's ways to create depth. That's in development and also getting new talent. And then when you get to competition, the guys are going to be playing at their best. So that, all those things, that I think people just want to know what we're about. I still think we're unknown to them. And I mentioned it before, we haven't done anything to earn the benefit of the doubt right now. You know, so we're the new guys, and until we can show them what we're going to be and do that consistently, we're trying to find a way to earn that respect and that the benefit of the doubt. But it's, you don't do it by getting them angry at the way it was voted. You just need to change some minds in the way we do it. I like what the guys have done in the offseason. I like what we've done in spring ball. You've seen it. You've seen how we perform, and it was a physical spring ball. Everything was just more physical. I didn't even have to say it. They just knew that this, I mean, our walkthroughs were more physical.
Yeah.
Like the guys, it's like trying to keep guys up and from hitting. It was a hard thing to do because the guys know the sense of urgency. They know what's coming up, and that's something that you couldn't generate last year. And so I'm thankful that it's here, and I'm thankful that the players, the intrinsic motivation has been unbelievable. I'm excited. I just can't wait till the season already.
That was one of the things that I was going to ask you, right? Because I think that's one of the hot topics of discussion, especially now with, you know, four new teams coming in from the Pac-12. The transition going into the Big 12 that first year, was there anything that kind of stood out or surprised you that maybe you didn't anticipate? Obviously, level play talent you knew was going to be there. You knew you were going to be playing against bigger guys, especially in the box on the front seven. But was there anything that really took you back coming into the Big 12?
Well, I think we already knew that we were going to be a physical team, but you just can't hang your hat on being the more physical team. That's kind of the standard now. Everyone's going to be physical. Everyone's going to be tough. And so you can't just think that you're going to show up and be committed to physicality, that it's going to work out in your favor. They're all that same way. So the beast is different than what you've seen, and I don't know how to tell people that. I compared it as being a father for the first time. You could study and being a parent for it. You can study as much as you want. And we have very strong opinions when we were without kids, right? Yeah. I mentioned that I didn't mean to talk about it, but it's just like, I remember having strong opinions and be like, oh, why are these people bringing their kids into the theater? Their kids aren't well behaved. Just tell them to be quiet. And then I became a father. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is way harder than everything. The books didn't tell us this part.
Yep.
So you kind of just have to go through that experience. But the one thing that stood out to me that wasn't not a surprise, but that was actually that made me feel really confident is that our fan base is awesome.
Yeah.
And as we traveled to places and played on different venues and played at home, they've been power conference from day one, and I've been really proud of them, man. And so we just want to make them happy. Myself and the players want to perform for them, and we're excited. And I can tell you, they've made some great decisions, some sacrifices along the way, and I just really don't want to just keep talking about it. I just want to get to it, you know.
Yeah.
But I think the sacrifices, the decisions, the things that they've done. It'll all pay off. The hard work, it'll all pay off, and we'll all see it in the season.
Biggest improvement or biggest room improvement, both on the defense and offensive side, what would you say during this offseason?
Well, the commitment up front.
Okay.
I know that offensively, if you don't have the guys that feel confident up front for you, then you can't really – it's hard to go into a game not knowing and not being sure about every facet of your game.
Yeah.
You got to be able to know that on the call sheet, I can call anything, and this is going to be really strong. That's why we made some decisions to change a few things, but also bring in certain players and competition. And then we have to be creative in finding ways to get our guys to be in the best position and create consistency. We've done it. I said it before in the media days with the general media group. I just said that I would be really concerned if we weren't able to compete at all. But now that we know that we've done it before, it wasn't like we were overwhelmed completely by the talent and the physicality of the game during the season. We just didn't get we weren't able to do it consistently, you know? So it's like if you've never dunked a basketball, how you know how to get better at it? We can dunk the basketball. We just need to figure out a way to make it, to make it part of our game and make it a competitive advantage for us.
I think that's one thing that BYU fans don't – I mean, they don't have the luxury of watching the film,
yeah.
Right? I was able to have that luxury watching film every week with Chase, and I don't think BYU fans realize just how close we were,
yeah.
1 to 2 plays away from being in it and actually winning some of those games. The first game to come to my mind is Texas, right? Like, you know, the scoreboard may not have shown it, but we're 2 plays away from being right there – till the last second, right, and winning that ball game. So yeah. I you know, just
there's some games that we just put ourselves in a bad position to fight back from. So those are all learning moments, and my job as a head coach is to make it so it's consistent and that we can do it over and over and over again, and that we can be in a position to win more games. Now, 5-7, I can tell you one thing: we learned some lessons being 5-7. That if we would have been 7-5, I don't know if we make the same decisions.
Interesting.
You know, so that kind of. That allowed me to look at things a little bit more and then not give such a free pass on a lot of things that the different variables to our success. And then that's my – I'm still learning as a head coach still. I mean, I'm going in my 9th year, but I'm still learning. I'm not immune from it.
Competition,
so
yeah.
I'm trying to get better. And so I've done things that I wish I could do better, and I'm still trying to learn. I've asked your opinion on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I've asked your opinion. I want to learn as much as I can and get our guys in a better position. And there's not one little thing that is the answer, but there's a bunch of them. And my job is to get all of them, the little details to get in a better position so we can have success.
And I don't know how much you can even tell us because there's very much a quarterback battle brewing. But clearly we put out a poll question. It was like, hey, what do you want to know from BYU football and media days, like an update on the quarterback battle.
Yeah,
so we're asking the fan question to you.
Yeah.
What update can you give us in the battle for the starting quarterback position?
Well, I mean, I mentioned 4 quarterbacks because we have depth there now, and I feel good about them. But not just depth, but all 4 of those guys have started and played in college football games, and not just one, a number of them, right? So this isn't going to be brand new for them. So if we ever get to the 4th quarterback, which I hope we don't, unless by choice, right, then we know we can count on those guys that they're actually ready for that moment. It's hard to ask a newbie to come in and say, hey, never played college football before. This is your first moment to be a starter. We had to do that last year. And that's unfair to Jake Retzlaff. And so now we're in a position where we have more guys there. the quarterbacks are looking better than ever, and Gary's improved quite a bit from spring ball to now. He's a lot more healthy. He's a lot more confident. And then those guys are getting their time in. They're getting their workouts in. And they're getting their timing, more importantly, with the receivers and the tight ends and the running backs. And as they start working together, you can kind of see there's just this overall. I mean, you've been through it, Austin, where you just have this comfort level of which quarterback. I mean, our guys now look and say, okay, this is the quarterback. This is, I can expect the ball this time, and it's going to be a different spin, a different trajectory than a normal. And
you There's get sixth sense,
And you get kind of get you have to just do that. You just have to put the work in. Our guys are putting in the work, and I'm hoping it's going to show when we take the field.
If you had to put a timetable on it, when is the ideal date to name a starter for game number one at quarterback?
As soon as possible. I would love it had been yesterday, but you know we I think doing our part is making sure that everyone gets a shot to do it, and then seeing how we can improve with everything else. I mean, 1 through 4, they're really talented. So let's see, can we get them all 4 of them to get better, and then see which the best one is. But I we've been in years that we've had to play all 4. We've had to go to the string. So now we're in a position. I hope we don't get there, but. Other than by choice, I would love to do it by choice, which means that things are going well for us on the field.
Yeah, I love the parallel of what BYU basketball did when they were picked to finish 13th and football being picked to finish 13th. Why not go shock some people?
Just a number, baby.
Hey, I understand why they did that, but we know exactly what we got going on.
And, let's go.
And I think just having that feeling of just the connection with the players, you see it from our guys. Everybody's undefeated right now, but we're feeling really confident going into this year.
Coach, great to talk with you.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by, Coach.
Great to have you at Allegiant Stadium. I know your dad loves this place. He loves this team. Yeah. So this has extra meaning for your family to be here.
This place, like you think about it, here in Vegas, this has been some pretty cool moments. We had played Arizona here, and we played Notre Dame here. I remember it was a home game for Notre Dame, and we came out, and the BYU fans showed up, man. They gave us a certain amount of tickets, and our new players are just like, I thought this was a home game for Notre Dame. It's like, if the tickets are available, our people will show up. And that's, like, go back BYU, to the point before, our fans are awesome. We want to make them happy, and let's get there.
Awesome. Kalani, appreciate the time, brother.
Appreciate it, guys. Go Cougs.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Up next, BYU wide receivers Chase Roberts and the aforementioned Darius Lassiter back and ready for a jump in year 2 in Big 12 play. How do they feel about being picked to finish 13th in the conference? They don't like it. This is BYUSN.
Darius Lassiter, Chase Roberts.
Oh, one hand.
Sliding is Lassiter. Chase Roberts, the dive, the touchdown. He did it again.
Listen, there are touchdowns, and then there are those spectacular touchdowns. And both of the guys you just saw highlights from, Chase Roberts and Darius Lassiter, join us now on set here at Allegiant Stadium as part of Big 12 Football Media Days, the wide receiver duo for BYU. Great to have both of you here with us.
Thanks for having us.
These guys are so good, they only need one hand.
Right.
Austin, you know a thing or two about that.
I don't, actually.
Come on, Colorado State 2008.
Let's see.
Like, abnormally small hands for receiver. Oh, dude, you've
You're
got
trying
small
to go
hands.
Up.
You've got small
I
hands,
do
too.
I small hands, yeah, and small feet.
I mean, I'm 6'1", 6'2". How tall are you?
6'3", 6'4".
6'3", yeah.
That's, I mean, 6'4".
Small hands for tall guy.
I'm still waiting for the BYU version of EA Sports College Football 25 to feature Darius and his catch specifically against Texas Tech. You cool with that, bro?
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Just break that up a little song.
Darius, you look a little fuller in the face. Okay, didn't even recognize you yesterday at the Bellagio. How much weight have we put on?
I think since I put on by like 12 pounds.
But like a good 12?
Yeah, good 12. Yeah.
Right?
Like a
company. Kalani says you're faster.
Yeah.
Even faster, though.
How does that work? Because the logic of it doesn't make sense. You put on 12 pounds of muscle and you're faster. So walk us through that whole process.
I think that's an answer for Dan, our nutritionist. I feel like I feel like it's like a feel thing, like that your body feel like it can perform better at that type of weight. So I kind of, when I was like 200, I felt fast, but now that like I'm like 212, 213, I kind of feel like I can really move. I still break down the same, so I kind of didn't lose anything there. So that's what I was kind of happy about. I was kind of like skeptical about going up in weight, just because like people say, oh, okay, you can get slower and things like that. But like the training that we've been doing with our strength staff, like the speed work, is transitioning with the weight too.
So that's what I was going to ask you. What from your game last year inspired this change, right? Is it coming from the top, coming from the coaches, or is that something that you decide on personally, like, hey, I got to get a little bit bigger, I got to have a little bit more mass? I mean, is that something that came from you?
Yeah, that's kind of a thing from me. I just kind of felt like 200, it was all right, but I feel like just for my body type, I felt like I could have put on some more pounds. And then we kind of just sat down. I kind of sat down with Dan, and then we kind of just talked things out about, like, okay, what's the best weight for me to be at, to try to play at? We tried some things in the spring. We got it to like 207 in the spring, and then I felt great then. I felt like I was playing some good ball in the spring, moving at that weight, moving good at that weight too. And then as we was training in the summer and in the spring workouts, I just felt like adding that extra like 5 pounds, it just kind of just put me over the edge.
Yeah, gotcha.
Chase, you two are certainly now far enough removed from your mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to now maybe fully be back in football shape. Yeah, so how much of a difference do you feel just from even from last year to this year in how your body and physique and overall conditioning is?
Yeah, I've never felt better, you know, ever. You know, this is I feel at a prime place right now as we've done a full season with our strength staff, our new strength staff, and they've been absolutely amazing. And the thing is, we're putting on weight, we're being more physical, but we're not losing the speed. We're actually getting faster, and I feel the fastest I've ever been. I felt the strongest I've ever been, and not only that, but the heaviest I've ever been and the biggest. So it's you know, kudos to our strength staff and what they've been able to do with that. And you'll see it with every guy on our team, is, you know, can say this similar story.
We talked to Coach Kalani a little bit about, you know, expectations coming in the Big 12 conference, being a new team in the Big 12, what to expect from a position focused, going up against bigger, stronger, faster guys. Do you feel like you're going into this season with a different mindset than what you had last season?
Yeah, I think we were kind of filling it out last season and trying to get, you know, new guys on board and everything to kind of come together, be cohesive. Whereas this season we have a lot of vets, and we're going to be the guys that are going to punch, you know, throw the first punch and be the more physical team. When we have the basics down and when we can, you know, line up right and get the play and know what we're doing, then that's when we can focus on everything else. Okay, what's the coverage? I'm going to nail this guy. You know, I'm going to block with my heart. And it's the next step that we are going to take this year with how bigger and faster and stronger and how the more experience we have.
Several players have said that there was a notable absence of, like, true leadership. Not saying that certain guys didn't step up certain games, but just like
accountability.
Like, yes, accountability and leadership. And that's something that has been a primary focus for the team this year, is like, hey, we need to hold each other accountable. There need to be true leaders. So, Darius, how have you seen that evolve from last year to this year in guys stepping into those roles and how the accountability is now making itself manifest to BYU football players?
Yeah, kind of our strength staff's kind of just put it on us and engraved it in our heads that we only going to go as far as this team wants to be. Yeah, the coaches go out there, they coach us. We go out there, we go through meetings, but at the end of the day, the players are out there. So this is our team. We gotta be bought in more than anybody else out there. So we kind of started doing, like, team competitions and things like that. So each group got a leader and then probably, like, a co-captain. So it's like, if you got any guys, like, falling off like that, it's up to you to go make that change. And if the guys continue up there, you're not doing your part as a leader. So I feel like that aspect of making it real competitive, so people will be like, okay, I can depend on him when we need a play to go down. We need somebody to be level-headed. Say, like, personal flag that we might not like, and we can't just go off on the refs or anything like that. You gotta be level headed. You gotta be there. You gotta be in the moment for your team, and you gotta be accountable. There's a different standard that you gotta be held to if you wanna play here. And I feel like we know what that is now. It's starting to come together pieces by pieces every day. It's not perfect, but that's what it's striving to be, and that's what we're striving to be, is perfect.
Who's the guy that's in everyone's ear, specifically in the wide receiver room? Who's the guy that you're like, gosh, shut up? But you kind of love it, too, because it's like, okay, I appreciate what you're doing because you're trying to make me better.
I feel like it's like me, Chase, or Cody, okay. One of those guys. Okay. Oftentimes people – might not say nothing to Chase, but I'm gonna say something to him. I know that he wants that. He likes when people hold him accountable. He don't want nothing the easy way out. That's just who he is. So I get on him. He can get on me. It might be something as little as putting your hands on your hips when we tired and we running tempos. I'm gonna be like, Chase, put your hands down. So he knows it. In the moment you might not think of it, but later on you be like, okay. That's somebody I know that's going to really have my back when things going wrong.
Well, what happens is first you're like, shut up. Like, you know what I mean? But then after you're like, all right, you know, like I know.
Yes.
Like what he's trying to do and what we're trying to do as a team. And then it rolls over to the whole team.
We want more of this.
Yeah. No, I think what's crazy is, you know, between Darius and Keelan being new, like even with them being new, a lot of the team's leadership is going to be found in that room.
Yeah.
In the wideout room, at least that's from what I see. Mm-hmm. And the biggest difference I'm anticipating, and I am biased, right? But the biggest difference I am going to see from year one or last year to this year, I think is going to be in that room. That is going to be the biggest jump. One from comfort zone with Jake. This will be your guys' second year with Jake. Whether it is Jake or not, we don't know. Or Gary. But you guys just as a whole, seems to me last year, you guys are still kind of trying to fill each other out. Now you guys are like brothers, and I anticipate that kind of brotherhood and that sense of leadership and accountability is just – it's going beyond the room, but it is directly coming from the whiteout room. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, most definitely. I feel like Coach Phillips kind of pulled us aside a couple times. It's like, hey, you guys are the most experienced group on the team.
Which is crazy because we just added you two last year.
It's just like people are going to look for you guys for guidance and just to be playmakers and be dogs on the team. Just because like you got to be able to throw the ball to win the game, and ultimately you throwing it to the receivers. Tight ends get love too, and running backs, but.
Let's not lie. Who are the true athletes on the field?
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Best athletes down the field, wideouts.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, everybody has to do their part. It's not just us being leaders. It's us bringing people on so they can be leaders as well in their position groups, and then they can start leaning on to the team as well and start being more comfortable talking up, standing out in front of the team.
All right, we got to wrap this thing up, but because I teased it, I have to ask you. You see BYU tabbed number 13 out of 16 teams. What was your initial reaction to that, Darius?
I was like, me personally, I was like, okay, that's whatever. But that's the easy short answer. But in my head, I was like, it's whatever. We don't need nobody believing us, but anybody that got that wad in their chest. We know they're going to come out here and support us. We know what we got in the room. So we know what we got on this team. We know that we way better than the 13th. There's teams that up there that we played and we beaten. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter where you start at. It's where you finish. And that's the thing we're working on this year. We kind of didn't finish games last year. So it's kind of – where we supposed to be, I guess, with the record that we had and how we played. So people can have their opinions, but we know what we got and what we're going to do.
Is the proper size chip on your shoulder, Chase?
That's right. We're in Vegas. Yeah, the odds are against us, but we got that chip on our shoulder for sure.
Let's go. Hey, great to have both of you with us.
Thanks for stopping by, fellas.
Yeah, thank you.
Excited to watch you.
A little over 50 days away. Let's go.
We're excited.
Excited.
All right. After the break, we're not done quite yet from Big 12 Media Days. Some final thoughts from the great Austin Colley, among a few other notes. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
This segment is presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated, and today's Rising Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Let's give it to the entire Big 12 Conference for an awesome setup and showing here at Big 12 Conference Media Days.
Great venue, great time. If you missed anything, make sure to check it out on social media. You're not going to want to miss it.
Including interviews with Kalani Sitake, Chase Roberts, Darius Lasker, Deion Sanders, and the Sanders boys. For Austin, I'm Spencer. Shout out to all of you watching. Go Cougs!